he's Hollywood's go-to guy for health and fitness. It's Fitness Confidential with celebrity fitness trainer Benny Tortorich.
Your good intentions have been stolen, and I'm here to help you get them back.
I am Benny Tortorich, and folks, here we are again on the Saturday show. We do all kinds of stuff on this show. Sometimes we bring half luminaries in here. You never know who you're going to get. But I like to bring the listeners on as often as possible because this is kind of when they get to do a little consult, if you will, with me. And in some cases, it's not a consult. They just want to do a victory lap. I have no idea what this guy wants to talk about today. We had a quick interchange, I think on Twitter somewhere, where he used one of my analogies, but I don't think he had ever heard that analogy. And we'll find out more about that. Please help me welcome David McKnight. Did I say your last name correctly, David?
Yes, sir.
How's it going, man?
It's going great, man. How are you doing?
I can't complain. I could, but I'm not. So, David, you're doing an S&G, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so tell me a little bit. How did you find me? Whenever I do the consults on the telephone on a daily basis, I ask everyone, how did you find me? There's a lot of clutter out there, a lot of noise, if you will, on the internet.
Sure. So I had a Facebook friend of mine. Now I got to give a shout out to Mark Percy, who's in the Facebook group as well, the Vinny Tortorich No Sugars, No Grains group.
Yeah.
He would post up. He put all his stuff out there. You know, he would post up, hey, I've lost 5 pounds doing NSNG in 2 weeks. I lost 10 pounds. Just his weekly status, his monthly status. And he was showing a lot of continual progress. And back in February, March, I was tipping the scales at 334 pounds. And I, you know, knees are hurting. And I said, man, this is ridiculous. I've got to do something.
Go back a little bit. 334 pounds. And by the way, I always love this about people who are morbidly obese. You guys will never round up to 335. somebody will say, yeah, I got on the scale, I was 336.5 pounds. Can't you just say, just round it down?
It does roll off the tongue better, doesn't it?
Right. So I always ask about that. But the reason I think people say that is because they have an intimate relationship with that number. You know, like when you hit 299, you probably told yourself, there's no fucking way I'm going to ever see 300. Not going to happen in my lifetime.
It's never going over. That's ridiculous. Who would ever be that heavy?
Today is the day. I'm starting today. By today, I mean next Monday, because there's a football game this weekend. But
that's right.
Today, meaning Monday, the 299, goodbye. I will never see 300. I'm going back to my high school weight. The whole thing, right? I mean,
that is exactly right.
That's why when you 334, you probably said to yourself, I will never see 335. That is, you keep drawing that line in the sand. You know, because look, I've been working with morbidly obese people now for 35 years. I know. I mean, no one knows as well as I do. No one that I know in my life has stuck with one career their entire life. No one. I'm the only one.
Right.
Everybody's like, oh, yeah, I used to do this. I used to do that. No, not me. I've been working with two people, morbidly obese people and actors, for 35 years. That's it. Right? So 334, man. You remember that number, and you're never going back. So you're hearing your friend, he's losing weight, he's doing this crazy thing. Mm-hmm. How old are you at the time, and how much, we know how much you weigh, how tall are you? Let's give the audience more of a snapshot.
Sure, 6'2", 52 years old.
Okay.
So not too far behind you. Always on the heavy side, if not just flat out obese, morbidly obese. Always a big guy, but... So I started doing a little research on you, did a little research on the concept, and I just knew I was eating, I had way too much sugar in my diet, you know?
Right.
And so it wasn't even really I think it's always let's try this and see how it goes. It was more of a, I'm going to make the decision first, which I did at probably 1 o'clock in the morning. Got up the next morning and I told my wife, you know what? I'm doing this. I think we should do this. I think we should try this. And actually, we kind of framed it around the Lent holiday. That's what we would tell people, right? In the social yeah. situation. Oh, we gave up sweets for Lent, or gave up sugar for Lent, or whatever. And I've in the month of March, we started like the March 4th or something like that, whatever that first Thursday, Friday was. I said, I'm going to do an experiment on myself. And let's see where this goes. Let's see if the cravings start. Let's see if we yo-yo. Let's see if we backslide. Let's just see how it goes. And I'll be damned, Vinny, it just has been going very well. It's not been difficult. And the funny thing about it, there's been several revelations or funny things about it, if you will. But one of the funny things, first funny thing was, both my wife and I remember trying the Atkins diet back in somewhere around 2000. And man, we were just jonesing for some bread or some pasta or something. We're really craving something. We haven't had this with NSNG, and I don't really know why.
What year did you try the Atkins diet?
Oh, God, 16, 17 years ago, probably.
Was he still alive when you tried it, or was the company already sold?
I don't know. I remember having some of those crappy Atkins bars and some of that kind of stuff.
You see, when Dr. Atkins first started doing all this, he had it right. And he was basically working off of a theory of patients of his that came in that started losing weight, and he noticed their blood got better and the whole thing. And then he went back and started doing research, you know, Banting. He studied all the greats, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was one of the first ones to kind of dig up all of this old literature and all of these old studies that proved, you know, some of his pre-World War II, where a lot of these German scientists and all this started coming out and going, wait a minute, this is how we reverse diabetes. This is, you know, type 2. This is how we reverse this. We reverse that. And, you know, the whole thing. And things came around and things moved on. And then, you know, we just, you know, the 50s came around. Ansel Keys started his reign on dietary guidelines in the late 1950s. But boy, once we gave him full reign, he just went with it. And with that, everything changed. And but Dr. Atkins was following what was happening before that and came up with this Atkins diet. And he did this induction period. Now, this is me just surmising, but mm-hmm. I got a feeling that Dr. Atkins wanted people to be on the induction phase of the diet a lot longer than 14 days. But I'm sure someone got to him and said, hey, doc, look, you're going to catch more bees with honey. You know, if you're telling people they have to eat this way for 30, 45, 60 days, they're not going to do it. You know, you're not going to catch many bees with that. You know, you got to give them, you know, in 14 days, well, that's 2 weeks. Anybody could do anything for 2 weeks, especially mm-hmm. if you tell them they're going to lose weight. And it really worked like a charm, even though it was a short induction period. It worked like a charm. It stopped working once Atkins or the Atkins family sold it to a big corporation, and they started putting Atkins on everything. Atkins, you know, food and Atkins bars and Atkins drinks and that, because now you're just talking about crazy sugar and non-fat, you know, non-sugary, you know, all this crap that was not what Dr. Atkins had considered at all, right? So that's a reason you failed, because you were still eating chocolate bars, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So now you try NSNG, your wife is on board. Does she have weight to lose too?
Not in my eyes, Vinny.
But my eyes.
Yes, absolutely.
So she's looking around going, I don't want your ass getting skinny, you know, and looking around. I need to get some weight off of me too, right?
Yeah, yep.
Okay. So you guys start, and it's around Lent. You're good Catholics. You figure you can use that. That way you don't have to make any declarations, right?
There you go.
All right, take me.
We're Methodist, which is Catholic light. We'll have a beer occasionally, so it's all good.
Oh, Catholics are drunk most of the time from all the diddling that the priests do to kids when they're 12.
Yeah.
I had a friend down south that said he went to Alcoholics Anonymous, and it was basically Catholic School Anonymous. I wish I could laugh at that joke. the joke I made, I wish I could laugh at it. Anyway, you are, you start doing it. Your wife is doing it. What happens? Take me down the road.
We immediately feel better. We had given up sodas, I don't know, 6 months or several months prior to that. We'd been drinking tea and water. And so the soda thing wasn't a big deal at all. Where she really had a problem with it was eating all the fat. She said, there's no way. She said, I'll try this, but I just don't see how this is going to work. She, if you hear a noise in the background, that's our clock going off.
Yeah, that's fine.
She was on board. And I think that's one thing that's really important is to have, if you're married, you can't have one spouse doing it and one spouse not doing it. That's, we get into talking about the debt piece and the money piece and changing behaviors and changing habits. Having somebody to be your accountability partner for those times when you do go, you know, you're walking by the cookie tray or whatever, and you get a couple, and then the person's like, just, you know, we don't need that. We're not doing that anymore.
Right.
So she was totally on board. Certainly for, like you say, let's try it for a couple of weeks and see what happens. You see a little bit of success and you go, hey, I feel great. Sleeping better. Lost a couple of pounds. Clothes are fitting better. Let's keep going.
Right.
And it's been that cycle ever since. It's been, let's try it for Lent. Let's try it for another month. Let's keep going. This is great. We got Anna's cookbook. Oh my God. It's phenomenal.
How She's good is wife. That? I mean,
I swear to God, my wife loves to cook, and she's made probably 30 different dishes out of that cookbook.
No, I believe it.
Phenomenal. Fathead pizza. Oh man.
So you guys are doing the cookbook. You're doing the whole thing, and, you know, and look, Anna's cookbook, she did something that no one does. She sat there, that cookbook, people are happy that it's out now. But it took forever for her to get it out because she's like me. I found the female me in Anna Vocino where she won't just, you know, go, hey, we can make a lot of money. Let's just go do something. You know, she sat there and meticulously tested every recipe over and over and over. That's why it works so well.
Yeah.
You know, most people can't do that. You know, they go, oh, let's just throw all the let's just, you know, copy these recipes, put them in a book and. No, not Anna. Eat Happy is the book, folks. If you guys want to go get it, click through at VinnieTortorese.com, Amazon. Put coal on the fire, get that train down the track. So you've been at it for 4 months.
Yep.
Any weight loss?
Not a damn pound. I don't understand.
Good night, everybody.
As of this morning, I'm down 47 pounds.
Wow. Really?
And my wife, yes, sir.
I wasn't expecting to hear that.
Yeah. And my wife is down 27 pounds and she doesn't have near. Now, obviously I have a lot of weight to lose. She doesn't have near that much to lose. She probably wants to lose another 10, 15 pounds.
Wow. Tell her that last 7, 8 pounds, it takes a while. Tell her, you know, it slows down a lot when you start cutting those nails to the quick. You know, you got less meat on that bone, you know. So, but you're down below 300 pounds.
Yes. Yeah. 287, I believe it was on the scale.
Wow. How does that feel, man?
It's freaking fantastic. In fact, she said, here, don't look at these. Just try on these jeans. Because, I mean, I've been wearing 46s and 44s.
Right.
And I think I'm ready for 42s. So she said, here, try these on. And they're 40s. And they're tight at the button and zipper as far as, you know, I got my belly's hanging over, but it's hugging onto the legs. And she goes, I can see your butt. Not that, you know, that's a little TMI for your audience or whatever.
No, we're good. We're good. You're Methodist. That's Catholic light.
There you go.
You talk about your ass. If you were Baptist, I'd tell you, take it easy. But definitely if you were like Mormon, we couldn't have this conversation.
No.
No, you're good. So you Those made an analogy. Freaks. What do you do for a living, Dave?
By day, I'm a software engineer. I work for an oil and gas pipeline company here in Houston. I know you're a good refinery boy from Louisiana.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I grew up, you know. I learned how to drive, you know, big semis when I was 12 or 13. My grandfather would take me on his truck. He would carry bulk mud to the drill sites. And he taught me those old Mack trucks had two shifts. It wasn't the air splits and everything. And there was a moment when both hands had to come off the steering wheel. And by the way, folks, there was no such thing as power steering on these things. And both hands would have to come off because you would have to move two shifts at once. If you know, for you farm boys, you know how sometimes you have a tractor and you have three or four gears low and then you have three or four gears high on the tractor. It was the same thing in these Mack trucks and those old transmissions. And by the way, nothing was synchronized. And there was a lot of clutch work. And meanwhile, you're looking at your truck going off the road while you're trying to shift, right? Because it would start wandering. And oh, God, yeah. But I learned how to drive. I learned how to drive those old trucks when I was a kid. And then my brother owns these great trucks now. You know, he's got a big tow truck service. And I get in these things. They're air-conditioned and there's power steering. And they shift without – you don't even have to clutch them and the whole thing. I don't know how I got off on that, but yeah, I grew up near oil fields and I was around that as a kid. You made an analogy that kind of worked. You said it's like a bank account, and that's, I use that analogy with clients all the time, and I thought that was pretty interesting. You want to say, tell me what it is?
Yeah, we just, you know, when you look down at your gut, and you look at the scales and you realize that you are, you know, when it settles in and you realize that you are morbidly obese and all that entails, and, you know, my knees hurt and I, you know, I just got aches when you realize you really have a problem and it seems like it's insurmountable. It really reminded me of just money and debt. One of the things that we found ourselves in several years ago was $154,000 of non-mortgage debt.
Wow. Can I ask you about that a little bit?
Yes, sir. You can ask everything about it.
I've never had debt in my life. You know, at all, you know, mortgage debt, yes, but that doesn't count as debt. I've paid off every credit card in my life in the month that it came in. You went, oh, la-di-da, Mr. Rich Guy. No, a lot of times I was broke. And in those months, I never really used a credit card. But when I would, it was, if I don't have it, I'm not going to spend it, right?
Yep, yep.
Because I'm scared of money. Money, people ask me, what scares you? Money scares me. And I've always paid that off. But I talked to my younger brother, and he'll tell me about relatives. My younger brother works in a car dealership. And he's been a manager for a huge Toyota / Honda dealership down in Baton Rouge, which is like Houston Light. You know, a lot of people with a lot of money down there, a lot of oil money.
Yeah.
And he would tell me, yeah, you know, our cousin came in today and she was trying to get me to wedge her into a car. And financially, I couldn't get, you know, I had trouble. I finally got a bank to loan her and I went, but she makes so much money. I mean, is she doesn't she have a job where she makes $150,000 a year? And he goes, yeah, she's got debt. And I went, well, what kind of debt? And he would go, oh, like one credit card had $40,000, the other one had $25,000, a third one had $15,000. I went, $90,000 in credit card debt? And he goes, yeah. I said, how do you come out from under that? How do you... What do you mean? And then I started getting palpitations from my cousin. You know, I was like, yeah. You know, even if you pay the minimum, you're never going to pay it off. You're paying principal. You're not paying principal. You're paying interest. You know, how do you do it? Do you mind explaining to me? Because you seem like a sensible guy. You have a real job. You're an educated man. How do you mind help the audience out? I'm not Dave Ramsey, but this is Dave Ramsey kind of conversation, right?
It absolutely is. And it was Dave Ramsey that taught us how
to do
that.
Was it really?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so we go on.
Yeah, so I'll take you all the way back. I would listen to him on the radio, just like I listened to your podcast. He was kind of my luminary in that space, as you are the luminary in the health and nutrition space.
You're way too kind.
But see, I was looking for a guy like you after the money thing. Anyway, we'll get to that. And so we saw one of his presentations, and my wife was very skeptical. She said, what is this, like a get-rich-quick thing, like a real estate no-money-down thing? I said, no. It's really – it's common sense, you know? And so this is a story. We kind of bring this to the masses, and we teach the class, and we help other people, and I tell the story that we had just seen this guy, you know, and we said, you know, we're doing okay. We never had, you know, yes, that's a huge number of amount of debt, $154,000. We never had a problem meeting the bills. We never had a problem paying the credit cards, paying the minimums, et cetera, et cetera. Not realizing the number, right? So the day after we saw his little seminar and presentation and such, you know, we bought a book and did this and that. And the day after, she sends me this spreadsheet. And the spreadsheet has, well, here's the money we have coming in, kind of our budget, right? Here's the money we have coming in for the month. Here's the bills we're paying. Here's, you know, this and that and the mortgage. And then at the bottom, it was, here's our total debt. Now, Vinny, this is the same spreadsheet that she has sent me on email every month or two for a year.
Right.
But for the first time, I looked at it and I saw that amount of debt, $154,000. And I said,
but you had to know you had some debt, right?
Yeah, but you know, we're making the payments. Everything's good. You want something? Put it on the credit card. We had a small business, a video production business.
Right.
And I was the $100 kid, right? Need new software, need some upgrades, need some this, need some that. Just spend it. You know, we're making the money. We're spending the money. We were spending everything we were making. Right. We were consuming everything we were making. That was the video production was our side business, but We just made the decision. This stops today. We don't need to spend more money than we're making. We were just shown the plan. We were just shown how to get out of debt. And you have to, how do you eat an elephant, right? A bite at a time.
Right.
So we organized all of the credit. We had 23 open accounts, 23 open active accounts. You arrange all those accounts, smallest balance to largest balance, not the interest rate, smallest balance to largest balance, and you pay off the smallest balance as aggressively as you possibly can. Have a garage sale, take an extra job, do something to generate some income, knock that little one out. So now you've got 22, knock the next one out. It's $100, it's $200, whatever it is, Sam's Club, right?
Right.
You get some quick wins. You go, hey, we're seeing some success.
Right.
I think maybe this will work. When you go on the no sugars, no grains, after the first 2 weeks and I had dropped like, I don't know, 10 pounds or something like that, you go, hey, we're seeing some success.
Right.
Maybe this will work. So, and then by the time you get up to in terms of paying off debt, by the time you get to the $20,000 credit card balance, you know you're in this for the long haul. This one's going to take a while. We're not going to pay this off in a month. We're going to, you know, we've paid off the first 10 or the first 15 accounts, but because it's like building a muscle, because you've done this, you know, you're going to pay off this debt. This one's just going to take longer. It's kind of like those last 10 or 15 pounds that you have to lose.
Right.
Yes, you'll get there, but it's going to take a little bit longer. Does that make sense?
It does. But, you know, in the meantime, do you ever look around and go, man, this is, you know, and I get it in the diet world because I deal with it all the time. But in the money world, again, I get palpitations listening to this.
Yeah.
Do you ever go, my God, you know, we haven't, you know, we need this or we need that. You know, look, I've always looked at vacation as wasted money. You know, because you go on vacation, you don't have anything to show for it. You can't sell it off later on if you don't want it anymore, right? It's just wasted money. All you have is a memory. Yet every year I go on a vacation. You know, we're getting ready to do that again. You know, and I've always looked at vacation as, you know, a waste. But I do realize that it matters for my relationship. And at this point in my career, it does matter for my sanity.
Sure.
But still, I have this thing in my head where I go, man, that's money I'll never get back. And I know I shouldn't think that way, you know, because like I almost died anyway. And when you got a chemo drip in you and you're going, what was it all worth? You know, yeah. What was it? You know, and all you're sitting there with is your memory. So, you know, so did you guys, besides getting low extra jobs and anything, did you cut out vacations or anything like that? How did that work?
You know, it's another way, another good analogy for this would be, and you'll read some folks on the forum and they'll say, well, I'm dipping my toes into the NSNG pool. I'm going to try this. And then you got guys, and Mark Percy, my friend, is one of these who will say, it's cold turkey, man. I'm going hardcore. I'm cutting it all out. I'm cutting out sugars completely. Every possible sugar, I'm cutting it out. I have to.
Right.
And the same thing would be like with your budget. You know, you could look at your budget and say, we've got cable, we've got all the premium channels, we've got Hulu and Amazon Prime and Netflix. Cut it out. You know, if you free up $200 by doing that, you can attack your debt with that money that you didn't, that's still income, but it's going for now something that's more important than something frivolous. And at that stage, when you're at that stage of managing your money, it's pretty easy to say what's a need versus what's a want, you know. And you may say, we're not going on vacation for a couple of years until we clean up this mess. And I would liken that to saying, you know what, I'm not going to have any chocolate ice cream until I get rid of another 50 pounds.
Right.
I'm not going to put life into living until we see some more results here.
Yeah. You know, I, when you put it that way, I do get that. And I also get that I have weird discipline with things.
Yes.
Just across the board. And I used to think that I was normal, but the older I get, the more I'm able to see that I'm abnormal in that
normal,
way.
Normal in America is broke. 70%, something like 76% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck.
Oh, I'm shocked that it was that low. I'll tell you a story. People always like when I talk a little bit about Hollywood and what goes on.
Sure.
We had the reason I ended up writing a book was for the first time in my life, and I'm sure I've told this on the show before, but I've talked about it amongst friends. The first time in my life that I wasn't making money in my adult life was in the summer of 2007. It's written in my book. Did you read my book at all?
Of course I did.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Thank
you. Yeah, I got the Kindle version. It's fantastic.
All right. So that summer, I contracted some cancer, and I went a long period without working, and I was oddly okay with that because financially, I got a lot of money in the bank. You know, I don't spend it on anything, and you know. I don't have any kids at the time. Tallulah wasn't in my life yet, and Serena. And so there's nothing to spend it on. So I use cancer as my low vacation to go and, you know, take care of that. Okay, so I didn't make money for a long time. Well, I ended up living, which was a good thing. That's a plus. But right on the heels of that, we had a writer's strike here in L.A.
Yeah,
so after not making a lot of money or making any money for a long time, right on the heels of that, when I started to go back to work to now start to pay off some of these bills that came in for the cancer, because as it turns out, when you have enough cancer, they figure out ways of not paying for all of it. And I should have had deductibles of $1,500 and $2,000, but I had $15,000 worth of bills that they just threw right at me. And I remember saying to the hospital at one time, what if I don't pay this? And not everyone pays this, right? And the girl said, yeah, a lot of people wouldn't pay it. They'd tell us to go screw ourselves, but we're pretty sure you will. And I said, well, how do you know that? And she goes, because we've already checked your credit. You have a score of over 800 on all three of your credit scores. You guys always pay up. And I went, well, would you look at that? That's how they're going to screw me because I have good credit and they know I'm not going to let the credit go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
So without making money for a long time, I went right to my savings and pulled out the money and paid them. And when the year crossed over to the new year, they counted that as a new year and they started over and they charged me a lot of money again and I paid that. In the meantime, we had the world's biggest writer strike. Now, let me explain what that means to people who don't live in L.A. when actors don't have a script, they have nothing to say. They don't work. Producers don't produce. The industry comes to a grinding, the wheels of the entertainment industry comes to a grinding halt. You don't notice it because TV shows just run reruns and the whole thing. Movies already have movies in a can forever. And the only people that get squeezed out are actors, which is my bread and butter, and producers who quit producing anything. Here's the funny part that people don't know about Hollywood, David. Most of these people that are driving around in Lamborghinis, in Ferraris, in Bentleys with the top down, living in 10,000-foot McMansions, if their income stops for longer than a month, they're broke. Would you believe that?
Absolutely, I would.
They're broke. Their kids are in private school. And you go, oh, my God, how can that be? These people are living. No, they're living paycheck. This is a high level of living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And, you know, number one, you got to keep your kid in the private school. And you got to do this and do that. So the first thing that goes is the trainer, right? So I went from not making money, from paying off all my medical bills, to every one of my clients telling me, I'm sorry, we can't use you again until this writer's strike is over with. And the writers also went with the Screen Actors Guild. It was a double strike, and it went on forever. Yeah. It took them a long time to smoke them out. So I was just pulling money out of savings on top of pulling money out of savings, and I was watching my savings become depleted. That was around the time Dean Laurie said to me, might be time for you to write a book. It's like, write a book? I need to make money. I didn't even write a book. He goes, you write a book, you can make money. I was like, yeah, because everyone who writes a stupid book makes money, right, Dean? He goes, no, but you have a great story and the whole thing. Okay. I wouldn't write a book at that time, but right when the writers came right back to work, 2008, the end of the year, bam, economy went bust. Again, no money hanging around. So, triple whammy. Cancer, writer strike, economy. And that economy stayed that way for a long time. And I had to take on clients that's way below what I would normally take, way below. Because every trainer dropped their prices because it was either do that or go work for Starbucks.
Sure.
Right? The economy is the economy. And I, for the first time in my life, I was looking at still no credit card debt, no nothing. But, you know, at least I had money from before. I wasn't one of those people living high on the hog. And I think you're telling me that all of America is doing it. It's not just the assholes out here with the Lamborghinis and the Ferraris and the McMansions. You're telling me this happens everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere. From, you know, people making $30,000, $40,000 a year. The average household income is about $55,000 a year in America. Some making more, some making less. Obviously, I think, you know, where you're at, it's a lot more. We know some people who are making $250,000 a year and spending everything they make. It's just that, I mean, that's an isolated case, but I mean, what's the saying? You can tell who is skinny dipping when the tide goes out. You know, you want a financial plan. You want your personal finances to be good when things are good, and you want them to be okay when things go south. You, like you said, you have a lot of discipline. You're able to sock enough money away to get you through that.
Oh, for years, years.
That's amazing. Most people don't. Most people don't.
Well, I still had money coming in because I still worked, but I was working for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, you ever read my favorite book, The Millionaire Next Door?
Thomas Stanley. It's a great book.
Danko and Stanley.
Yeah.
Would you believe that I'm listening to it on audio? I've read it twice by reading. I'm listening to it on audio again for probably, I don't want to exaggerate, 10 times. And I just started it again.
See, go on. You're a smart cookie, Vinny.
If I was most a smart cookie, I'd read other books. I just read the same book over and over.
But you, one of my favorite, I'm not at all a Bible scholar, but every once in a while when something jumps out at you and just knocks you over the head, there's a verse in Romans that says, don't be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, the culture says, hey, it's The Bachelor and it's Survivor. And I mean, you know, and it's all this, you know, who got thrown off the island and all this other crap. But go read a book, you know, fill your mind with some new information. I started watching some of these documentaries about sugar and I was just blown away. And that in itself was enough of a motivating factor to say, I don't want to eat so much of this crap anymore. We've been fed a bucket full of lies for years. I mean, I'm steering it right back into NSNG here for a moment. I remember, I mean, I think you're a few years older than me, but I distinctly remember I was a senior in high school in the early 80s. And I remember when the low fat everything came on board. You know, you had all the snack wells and all the diet sodas and all this other crap. We didn't have that when I was a little kid in the late 70s. We didn't have all that stuff.
No.
And then it's everywhere, you know, and anyway.
Well, look, you know, by the way, folks, The Millionaire Next Door is on the Vinny. I wanted to see. I must have talked about it before, and Buzz put it in here. The Millionaire Next Door, The Surprising Secrets of America's Wealthy. It's right next to Think and Grow Rich, my other book that I read. Well, now I'll listen to them over and over and over when I'm out running or doing whatever I do, because you can't hear these lessons enough. You know, you make money and, you know, I like nice things. You know, my biggest thing is I like shooting guns. And I think of my grandfather every time, because there was a time when I was a kid when I went rabbit hunting and I came back with three rabbits and he looked in my box of shells and he goes, there's six shells missing. And I said, yeah. I said, but I got three rabbits. He goes, but you missed three. And I went, yeah. And he goes, I got to hear back in my day, if I missed three, I was the one not eating that night. You know, he grew up in a depression. You know, my dad would have fed him to everybody else in the house, and I would have had to sit there with an empty plate. And now I go out and you know, send 300-400 rounds of 12-gauge ammunition downrange in an afternoon. And I think about my grandfather every time. It's like, my God. But then I think, oh, my God, he's also the man who taught me so much in life, you know, that I can go out here and I can do this and I can afford to do this as my thing to do. You know, I don't have 20 things to do. I like sending ammunition downrange. I shoot archery in my backyard and people go, you shoot guns, you shoot. So, yeah, with archery, you get to collect the ammunition and do it again. So I do a lot of that, you know. But nobody thinks that way in life. You know, you can't do everything, but you could do something, right? And I know we're going way off, but I'm liking this conversation because it's different than the conversations we normally have on the show.
Sure.
Right? And so you and your wife got back. You got your financial stability. That's all cleared up now. How long did it take you to pay back $150,000-some-odd?
It took us 6.5 years.
Wow. So any debt now?
Just a very reasonable mortgage, which will be paid off in probably realistically 4 years, possibly 3 years.
You see, I don't look at mortgage as debt. I look at it as investment, especially where I live. I know it's not supposed to be seen that way, but I do.
That's cool.
I know it's wrong. I know if you listen to Dave Ramsey, he would tell you to pay that off as quickly as possible, right?
Yes, he would.
Yeah.
Paying off the mortgage is not the sole focus at this point. We're investing pretty heavily for retirement in terms of mutual funds and retirement accounts and things like that. But when some extra money comes in, you know, a bonus or what have you, we'll toss it. We'll chunk it at the mortgage if we don't have it earmarked for something else like replacing a car.
So when you say investments, how do you invest?
I invest very simply. I think if you read the types of books you're talking about, Millionaire Next Door and Think and Grow Rich and some of those kinds of things, there are no, and you probably know this in the circles you run in, but there are no secrets of the rich. There's no tricks to it.
Right.
We invest in very simple mutual funds, that most of them are stock mutual funds. We don't personally invest in individual stocks. I think there's too much risk involved in that. At the moment, we don't hold any bond funds. Everything is put into a series of between probably four, five, six different stock mutual funds, growth stock mutual funds.
Do you do it yourself, like on a TD Ameritrade thing, or do you have a broker? Or
I do it myself through Fidelity. I am arrogant enough to think I've learned enough in all the years of researching this stuff and dealing with it that I can do it myself. And so far, we're doing good. You know, some people say, well, you can't beat the market and you should just invest in index funds. And we're doing it a little bit better than that. But I wouldn't turn anybody away. I wouldn't tell anybody that that's bad advice. Some people say just put it into a S&P 500 index fund and let it ride. And that is not bad advice at all.
Yeah, that's what I do on my own with my TD Ameritrade account. I just I do spiders, S&Ps,
yeah.
And just dump money in that constantly. And it's outperforming. You see, the problem is my broker, I've been using the same broker down in Donaldsonville, Louisiana for 20, 30 some odd years. And all the promises that they made back 30 years ago has not happened, because with the compounded interest and the amount of money I put in and all the tax deferred, this and that and the other thing, all the SEPs and IRAs and everything else, I should be a multi-bazillionaire by now with the amount I put in over the years. Yet I'm not, right? So I started reading up on that. It's like, why am I not? I've never pulled the money out. I've never moved it around. I've never gambled on stocks. I literally own two stocks that are individual. One is ExxonMobil, which I don't think anyone would disagree with. And the other one was Apple, which has done nothing but made a lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. but other than that, I don't own any other individual stocks. All of it is mutual funds across the board.
Mm-hmm.
So you would ask yourself, well, why is Vinny not a multimillionaire from his stock portfolio? And there's so much, you know, they go, oh, yeah, every time we go in the market and do this, and it's just 1%, it's just a point here, a point there. But you don't see all the other hidden fees where they're pulling it out year in and year out. And that's what I just got enough of.
Yeah.
So I've left that with them, but they don't get any more of my money. They're still collecting off of those hidden fees. And I think eventually one day I'm going to pull that over to my own portfolio, my TD Ameritrade or one of mine, right?
Yeah.
But not yet. I'm still, you know, learning and playing. And within that, and again, I'm not a trader. I don't know how to trade, right? I don't know anything about that. But I know that that Warren Buffett would tell you if he died tomorrow, he would tell his wife to go buy the S&P across the board.
You're exactly right.
Right? So why not just do that? You know, if it's good enough for Warren Buffett, it's good enough for me. Right?
That's right.
Do I sound anything like Dave Ramsby? Are you shocked that I know anything about this?
Like you said, it's not your normal conversation. I think you're doing great.
But, you know, I think it's important that people have, you know, because, you know, stress also causes cortisol release and causes weight gain and everything else. And, you know, it's important to have no stress in our lives, and finances cause that. Would you agree?
Oh, my God. Let me tell you something. You've never had debt. So, I mean, you had a different kind of stress when you had to start depleting your savings, which most people never have, right? Most people never have that amount of savings. But when you make that last payment and you are debt-free, and you have, and then things start turning to the upside, right? Now, instead of all your money going to the banks to pay off these debt payments, now we can build up that emergency fund. We can put $10,000, $20,000, $15,000, $30,000, whatever into savings.
Right.
And invest aggressively for in these mutual funds for retirement. When you get to that point, it's a whole different ballgame. There's no stress. You can, you know, you walk into work and I mean, not that anyone would do this, but some people are at their jobs because what's the saying or the bumper sticker? I owe, so it's off to work I go.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the standard American diet, right?
Yeah. It's exactly
there's
the
none
same.
Of that. Yeah, there's none of that. The weight, you talk about a weight lifted off your shoulders, man. It is unimaginable.
So let's move into the diet. So you and your wife go down this road, right? You start in, it's working. It's working better than what Atkins worked like years ago because there's no... So because what I prescribe is so simple, you can't not succeed. You know, cut out sugars, cut out grains, yeah. Lose weight. I mean, there is no trick. People keep waiting for the Vinnie trick or, yeah. Okay, when are you going to charge me? All right, what's the upshot? Come on, yeah. You got to have an upshot, right? I'm the dumbest businessman in the world. There is no upshot.
Let me interject just for a second. That's exactly why I gravitated towards you. And it was, you know, a true answer to, I don't know if it's answer to prayer, but it was, I was looking for exactly what you are providing in terms of content. Because, so on the money piece, I would listen to Dave Ramsey do his, you know, talk shows, what his radio shows, whatever, and that provides a certain amount of motivation, a huge amount of knowledge, motivation, a continuing education kind of thing. And with his thing, it's just, I mean, he it's like you say, he never says, well, if you buy my book, I'll tell you that secret. If you come to my class, I'll tell you how to do that. Everything's on the radio. It's the same answer, you know, sell the car. Stop using your credit cards if you're charging to the hilt. You know, I mean, the information is very, very simple. It's common sense. You are exactly the same way. Everybody, you see everybody on the forums. Well, what do you eat? Well, how do I do this? Well, what do I do? And you say, don't eat sugar.
Yeah.
Look at the label. Does it have sugar in it? Does it have dextrose, glucose, high fructose corn syrup? Don't eat it. But what do I eat? Anything else? Meat, vegetables, fat, bacon, dairy. Full fat whipping cream. I've never even seen a carton of heavy whipping cream until we started this.
It was in the store and you never looked at it, right? People say to me all the time, they go, there were things, you tell people clarified butter, ghee, right? And they go, where did you get that? At the grocery store. They have that? When did they start stocking that? Somewhere around 1930. How long has cows been around? They've been stocking it since then. You know, heavy, and when I say heavy whipping cream, people go, you mean like carnation? I say, no, no, no. I didn't say creamer. I said heavy whipping cream. Oh, you mean the kind of, that stuff, you know, that you put on top of? No, I didn't say, you know, that's whipped cream. Some people even say, you mean like Cool Whip? No. It's a liquid. And they go, wait, no, it's, what do you mean it's a liquid? It's heavy. And I'm like sitting there going, has no one in my lifetime ever seen their mom whip up cream with a fork or a whisk or anything?
Not in this culture.
You know, everything. And you see, I grew up in, you know, like Serena says, I'm the most European American she's ever met. But all of my grandparents, my great-grandparents, they were all from Italy. You know, everybody was old school. And I grew up around everything happening from scratch. You know, I never saw a box of cake mix. I didn't even know that existed. That all happened from scratch. You know, these old Italian women would do, the cookies for the St. Joseph's altar and all this kind of stuff. That was all made from scratch. Otherwise, God would have come down and struck them with, you know, lightning bolts or something. You know, you're not going to fake that, right? And so when you start looking at food and all this stuff and looking at what's out there, people say to me all the time, when did they start stocking the stores with this heavy whipping cream? Was it after you? Like, no, it's always been there. You just never noticed it. Makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah, it does. She says, I can't believe we're eating this way and losing weight. And again, when you look at the, I guess it's the science of it. It's not really the science of it, but the physiological effect. So I'll have two cups of coffee in the morning with a little whipping cream and a little, and I know Truvia is not good, but right now we got a freaking huge box of Truvia to get rid of, but.
You're allowed to throw it away.
Yeah, I know. But that'll last till 2 o'clock in the afternoon sometimes, a little bit of fat and it fills you up and it keeps you full and you go, oh, I never thought about that. It's just, it's so, it is still difficult to get our minds around sometimes that it's the sugar that's making you fat.
I'll tell you something else that people have trouble getting there. And, you know, I'll get people calling me, you know, when they do, they'll do their first consult and there'll be a guy like you. He'll go, ah, yeah, I was 334 and I was coming up on that 335 and, you know, and that kind of thing. And he'll go, now I'm, you know, 257. And I'll go, sounds like you're doing well. So I'm getting ready to hear the plateau story, right? I'm plateauing mm-hmm. and the whole thing. And I'll go, it seems like you're doing well. And he goes, yeah, but everyone keeps telling me I'm killing myself. He goes, I've never felt better in my life. I haven't been this light since high school. And this, but everyone tells me that the bacon and the heavy cream and the butter, I'm just killing myself. And I'll say, do you have a doctor's appointment scheduled? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I wanted to call you first. I'm going in and, you know, what do I tell my doctor? I said, just tell him you want a blood test. And they, and by the way, I always tell them, call me back, free of charge. We have each other's number now. And they'll always call me back. They'll go, oh, my God. My doctor wants to know. They all tell this story. My doctor wanted to know what I was doing. And I told him I was eating cream and I was eating this and I was eating butter and I was eating meat. I mean, eating all this stuff. And the doctor will say, well, your triglycerides look amazing. They're way below 100. Last time you were in the danger zone. Your fatty liver disease seems to have gone away. You say you don't have sleep apnea anymore, and you look fantastic. But you got to stop eating that way because you're going to die of a heart attack. And I'm like, and it's like, based on what? Based on the fact that you're healthier than you've ever been? And of course, they never listen to the doctor because they're going, oh my God, my doctor is wrong about this.
Yeah.
You know?
And one of the things, I don't know if it was in your book or if it was on one of your, I tried going through the earlier podcasts through Libsyn and I couldn't keep up. There's too many of them. So I'll revisit that another time. But at some point you said, you know, they're on the model of with the American doctors are on this model with insurance companies where you have about 10 minutes
yeah.
with the patient. And so all they can do is run through the list of, you know, vitals and what drugs do you need prescribed next.
Yeah.
And you go, oh my God, that's true. That's what happens to me every time I go see my doctor. So I had started NSNG in March and probably, I guess in April, or maybe a few weeks after I started, you know, boom, some weight had dropped. And I had to go see the doctor for some cold meds like flu, bronchitis, whatever. And so I said, all right. So let me tell you. So he says, you're like 20 pounds lighter than last time I saw you. I said, yep, we cut out sugar. And he had this grin come across his face. And I said, we cut out sugar, cut out grains. And he goes, how's it going? I said, lost about 20 pounds. And this grin, this kind of smile come across his face. He said, this is probably the best thing you could do.
Wow.
Wow. I do take meds for triglycerides. So I'm anxious to see, not anxious, but I'm curious to see what that's going to be in September when I go back for those, for that retesting. And I want to get hooked up with Nicole Racine on the full battery of tests that she does.
Yeah. Talk to her before you go in and, she will tell you which ones you want because your doctor will order up anything you want ordered up. So just say, look, doc, I know you might not be able to read these, but I want, you know, Nicole will tell you the exact test, you know, it's particle test and whatnot. Yep. And then she can read them and tell you exactly where you are and everything else. But I'm excited. I want to know, would you, after you do that, can you remind me that we had this conversation? You know, I usually keep these podcasts, the Saturday shows, to about, you know, 15, 20 minutes, but you and I are coming up on an hour. But that usually happens when I'm talking to guys my age, you know. I don't know how, or you know, you start talking to someone your age, and there's like this kismet that you don't get anywhere else. I get that with Carolla, Adam Carolla. Yeah. You know, people, what's he like? He's kind of like me. We're, you know, our age group, we're all about the same, you know. And I always say we're the generation, we're the nowhere generation. They never market it to us. You know, we all walked around in Levi jeans and white T-shirts made by Hanes. And that was it. But yeah, you know, I always go a little overboard whenever I get a guy like you. Would you promise to come back on David, whenever you have that test in September.
It would be my pleasure.
Just write to me at that time. You have my email address. Just say, hey, remember we talked about this. I got my da-da-da, ba-ba-ba, boo-ba-boo, and we'll do it again.
Yes, sir.
All right, hang on just a second. I want to say goodbye to you off the air. Folks, you know what to do if you like what goes on here. If you want to learn how to lose weight and how to get your financial status correct, yep, we do it all here now. Next week, I'll teach you how to fix the engine of a 57 Chevy, and then we'll be doing it all. Folks, go to Amazon, but before you go there, go to VinnieTortorz.com, click through the banner, bookmark it, use it every time. It puts a little coal on the fire, gets our train down the track. David McKnight was talking about Anna Vocino's book, Eat Happy. Trust me, folks, there is no other diet book, whether you're into NSNG or not. This book is just amazing. We eat from it all the time here. You will love it there. Go check out Eat Happy by Anna Vocino. And check out all of our sponsors. We have a new sponsor, ThriveMarket.com/Vinny, V-I-N-N-I-E. We'll get you a big discount at ThriveMarket.com/Vinny. Also, Greengrocer Dallas and Villa Capelli, on behalf of David McKnight, my name is Vinny Tortorich. Put life into living and do it with enthusiasm.
Check out more podcast episodes on iTunes. Follow Vinny and Anna on Twitter or contact us with your fitness questions at VinnyTortorich.com.
Do you like eating ingredients in paint? I didn't think so. But guess what's an ingredient in your vitamin? Titanium dioxide. Nobody wants to eat paint. Instead of eating paint, why don't you check out PureVitaminClub.com, the purest vitamins ever made. Vinny Tortorich makes these vitamins. There's a multivitamin and a broad-spectrum magnesium. Nothing but vitamins in Pure Vitamin Club. No paint, no silica, no talc, no titanium dioxide. If you want to buy these vitamins, and I highly recommend you do, go to PureVitaminClub.com. They're the best quality vitamins for the lowest possible price. In fact, I've told Vinny he needs to raise the price, but he's not going to. Go check out PureVitaminClub.com. You can get a monthly subscription or get them 1 month at a time. PureVitaminClub.com, the best vitamins ever made.
Hey, you guys want to take it to the next level, or maybe you've stalled a little bit in your weight loss? Maybe you want to run a marathon. Maybe your first ultra. It doesn't matter what it is. I do consults. You can go to VinnyTortorich.com, look along the right side of the homepage. It'll say, talk to Vinny today. You can sign up for a consult. Just wanted to let you guys know that that's available. Okay, talk to you soon.